I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. Well, I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm, and I ain't never done no man no harm.
Books and Arts, Mose Allison with Parchment Farm. Now, Parchment is a Mississippi state penitentiary founded in 1901, and it soon earned a reputation as a notoriously brutal hard labour farm, and it still runs today. It's the backdrop for one part of the novel Sing, Unburied Sing by the award-winning US author Jesmyn Ward. And through the story of contemporary African-American family, a family in Mississippi, Jesmyn Ward confronts America's legacy of slavery and racial segregation. Here's Sarah Lestrange.
Sing, Unburied Sing is a road novel, really. Leone, her children Jojo and Kayla and a friend travel to Parchment Prison to collect Michael, who's been there for 3 years. He's the white father of Jojo and Kayla. Tell me about Parchment Prison, because it's really important in this story.
So Parchment Prison is a very famous Mississippi State prison. It was one of the first prisons built in Mississippi. And it historically, it's housed mostly black male inmates. So I would venture to say like 90% of the population of the prison, you know, is consisted of like black males. It is particularly famous because during the 1930s, the 1940s, the 1950s, Parchment Prison was a plantation, right? So being, you know, arrested and then sentenced and sent to Parchment Prison meant that in some ways, if you were black, like around 90% of the inmates were, you were re-enslaved, right? I mean, you had, you know, you were robbed of your freedom. You couldn't leave. You were forced to work in the fields. Sometimes the people in power at the prison would actually loan out or rent out the inmates to industrial barons throughout the American South, who would, you know, basically like pay the prison so that the inmates would, you know, clear large tracts of land or lay railroad tracks or, you know, whatever they wanted cheap, easy labor to do, they would pay the prison so that they could use the men.
And it had a reputation as being brutal. People were tortured there. People were worked to the bone, were starved.
Yes.
Hideous, hideous place to be, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they were beaten with whips. They were guarded by other inmates who, you know, who had guns, who were called trusty shooters. If one of the trusty shooters actually killed another inmate, a gunman, when they were trying to escape, then that trusty shooter would be granted their freedom.
Well, and this story in Sing, Unburied Sing is brought up to the present in a way. Your story is told in alternating chapters between Jojo, the 13-year-old hero of the story, and Leone, his not very good mother, and the child ghost Richie. We learn that Jojo's grandfather was sent to Parchment in the 1940s, and his job was tracking escapees with dogs. He was one of these people who would be rewarded if he found an escapee. Is that important to you in your fiction to connect the present with the past? So here we have, we're on this contemporary road journey to Parchment, and yet we're also looking back into the history through one of your characters.
Definitely. I mean, I feel like that idea, right? That idea that history weighs on the present, that history bears down on the present and affects, you know, people's lives in the present in very real ways. I feel like that's an idea that I'm obsessed with, and it's something that that I think surfaces in my work again and again. So that's definitely something that I was interested in doing in Sing, Unburied Sing.
So this place that was steeped in a system of racism, segregation, and recall in the way it's set up recalls the system of slavery. That's the past you're evoking.
Yes, because I think, you know, that the underlying idea, right, behind places like Parchment, the underlying idea behind, you know, the system of slavery, the underlying idea behind you know, Jim Crow and racial terrorism in the South, is that Black people's lives are worth less. You know, like, I think that's the common thread that underlies, you know, all these like multiple institutions, right? And you know, and so I was just very interested in like exploring how that idea expressed itself, right, in Parchman, and, you know, in the past, in the present, right, on the road trip that the family takes, you know, to northern Mississippi.
So this is quite a harrowing journey, though, that we go on. Leonie is not very good at being a mother, and here she is solely responsible for her children, Jojo and Kayla, without the help of her parents, who really have taken on the role of being parent to Jojo and Kayla. You really push your characters and your readers to tell your stories. What is it that you're pushing them to kind of go to the edge of survival, really, aren't you?
I think so. I mean, but I think, you know, honestly, I think that that's what the world demands of them, you know, and of people like the people that I'm writing about. You know, like, the world demands that they sort of teeter on the edge of survival. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's what I see, you know, in my community. That's what I see in the American South. And so I want my characters' experiences to reflect that.
Well, there are ghosts in your novel too, but they're not spectral. It's not like fantasy fiction. It's the ghosts of the past and the present, in a way. There are two ghosts. So there's Richie, who hitches a ride when the family goes up to Parchman. He was at Parchman with Jojo's grandfather, and he's looking to find out, you know, his story. And then the other ghost is the ghost of Leonie's brother, who was murdered by actually the cousin of her husband on a hunting trip. And the thing that connects these things is these two ghosts is racism, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, but I feel like both of them, you know, in the end, suffered very tragic fates. And one of the reasons that they suffered such tragic fates is that is because they were, you know, Black men living in the American South. And because they're Black men living in the American South, their lives were devalued, right? And, you know, nobody, I mean, outside of their family, some of their family members, right, no one really cared if they lived or died. And, you know, I think that at the heart of that impulse to not value someone's life is racism.
Yeah, but I guess what you draw out and what is so beautiful about your writing is you get right into the nub of the person. You draw out their individuality, as you do with actually every single one of your characters, regardless of whether they're, you know, quote-unquote, a good person or not. Your goal seems to be to humanize everyone in your novel.
I mean, I definitely want to. You know, I want every person, you know, who is important in the world of my novel to feel real for a reader. Because I feel like if I make my characters as real as I can, it means that, you know, that I'm doing my job as a writer, because I'm making the reader feel for my characters, right? But I also hope that, you know, that after a reader finishes my book, that maybe the next time that they encounter people who resemble, you know, the kind of people that I write about, that because they perceived, you know, my characters as human, maybe then they'll, you know, if they see people in the outside world that resemble my characters, they'll feel some empathy for them. They'll feel some sympathy for them.
Your book is called Sing, Unburied, Sing. What are these songs of the unburied?
Well, I think there are a couple of different songs in the novel. There are lots of, like, ideas, I think, about songs in the novel. I think, in one respect, the songs that need to be sung are songs by the dead, you know, like Richie or like Given, who need to have voice because they need to be able to testify about what they lived through and like how they died, right? And in singing, you know, I hope that that they get some justice, maybe, that they were denied in life. But I think too that there's another idea about like about songs, you know, that winds its way through Sing Unburied Sing, because I feel like songs and the ways that the different characters hear songs refers to a kind of cosmic order, maybe, or a kind of beauty, you know, that gives meaning.
The song of the universe type thing?
Yeah. And so I think that, like, that's another part of the commandment in the title, right? That the dead should be, like, aware of those songs and should sing those songs, but that the living, right, who are also unburied because they're living, that they should sing those songs too, and just, I don't know, I guess be aware of that.
And so in that sense, this book is a song.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, but yes, it is.
Now, Jesmyn Ward, recently you were awarded a MacArthur Foundation grant. It's colloquially called the Genius Grant, although the MacArthur Foundation doesn't like that. What does this grant mean to you? I mean, it's a big bundle of money with no strings attached. What does it mean to you? Congratulations, I should say.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, it's an amazing honor. And I think that, you know, one of the gifts of the award is that you get time, really, right? You get that money affords you a certain amount of time and a certain amount of freedom to really follow what you love and, you know, like focus on your art and create, because you're not necessarily worrying about money. So that's an incredible gift. And then too, I think like the fact that that there are no strings attached, that's another gift of the award, because, you know, you can do whatever you want to do with it. You know, you can pay off your house. You can build another house. You can set some aside for your children, right? And like give your children some security and, you know, afford them, you know, opportunities through that money that you perhaps didn't have, right? I mean, so it's that kind of money can make differences across generations. And that's amazing.
And may it help you keep writing.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely.
Well, thanks very much for talking to me, Jesmyn Ward.
Oh, thank you.
Jesmyn Ward there talking on Skype with Sarah Lestrange. And Sing Unburied Sing is published by Bloomsbury. You heard about it on RN's Books and Arts.